In Galatians chapter 3, reading from verse 6 through 9, we're titling the message this evening, Children of Abraham. This will be our third message in this chapter. We find, beginning in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight again for thy blessings to be upon the reading of Scripture. Lord, again, we ask that thy will to be done. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as we continue through this chapter. Lord, help us to come to a better understanding of thy word, that we might be better servants for thee. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are basically about six arguments in this chapter for justification by faith. Now, last week we were in verses 2 through 5, and he speaks in verses 2 through 5 of personal experience, that is, personal faith that they had put in Jesus Christ. This evening, he speaks from the argument of Abraham's justification. In other words, the apostle's second argument is from the Scripture, the Old Testament Scripture, showing that Abraham was justified the same way that the Galatians were justified, that is, by faith, without the works of the law. There's some questions that he had asked in verses 2 through 5. And in verse 5, he said, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He also asked in verse 2, he says in verse 2, this only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And again, he gives an answer to that in the text we're reading tonight, especially in verse 6. Now keep in mind, the Galatian churches were mostly made up of Gentiles. And that would be, I guess you would call them Turks today, and that was in that area. But they're pretty much made up of Gentiles, even though they were Jewish believers in the churches. And so he's calls them foolish in verse 1 and also in verse 3, and he refers to them as being bewitched in verse 1. In other words, why have they moved away from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, in verse 6, let's come to verse 6 and begin here this evening. And he begins with the two words, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted, or we could use the word imputed, because the word imputed is used in Romans 4 and James 2, I believe it's verse 23 and a few other places. But notice how he begins here in this chapter, in this verse rather, even as. That's like saying even so or just as. He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, he's saying that Abraham was justified by faith the same way that the Galatians were. In other words, Abraham believed God's word, and he was justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The law hadn't even been given in the days of Abraham. So this shows that Abraham was saved the same way as the Galatians, by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, when we talk about Abraham, we're going to turn to the book of Genesis and read from chapter 15 a little bit later, maybe go back to chapter 12 and chapter 17. But we find that in verse 6 again, even as Abraham believed God. I want you to keep in mind that Abraham plays a major role in the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testament. And we find that Abraham is our example here in this passage, a man who lived over 400 years before the Mosaic Law, and he's our example of faith. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation, of course. Abraham is the spiritual father of all of us here tonight. Abraham, we find that God established a covenant with him. We'd read about that covenant in Genesis 15 and Genesis chapter 17. We find that it is Abraham that we find that the Messiah was promised to come through, that is, through his seed. And Abraham was justified by faith before that he was ever circumcised. He was justified, as we read about in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, and then God confirmed his covenant with him in Genesis 17, and there is when he is circumcised. Now, I want you to hold on here. Let me read verse 6 again. We're going to go back to Genesis 15. In verse 6, he said, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham is our example of how a person is saved. Now go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. The Apostle Paul quotes from Genesis 15:6, not only in Galatians 3:6, but also in Romans 4, verse 3. We will read both of these passages. Notice in Genesis chapter 15, we want to take this passage first, and then a little bit later we'll come back and look at another passage in Genesis. Now we find, again, that as we read Galatians 3:6, that Abraham believed God. Now that sounds so simple, and still yet it's so profound. What does it mean to believe God? It means to have faith. Not just faith in God. Well, the Bible says in James 2:19 that the devils believe and tremble. Judas Iscariot believed in God. Judas Iscariot knew that Jesus was the Son of God, because when he betrayed him, he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." He knew that Christ was the Son of God. So faith is more than just believing in God. It's believing what God has said about who that we are, about our sin, about our condition, and about how to be saved, and who that Jesus Christ is. And so we find that believing God has the ideal of trusting Him, resting in Him, putting our confidence in the Lord, receiving Him as our God, our Lord, and our Savior. Now, when we come to the story of Abraham, and we'll find his story from Genesis 12, especially into Genesis 22, those are the major parts of where we would find Abraham. And the major chapters is in speaking of faith is Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, and Genesis chapter 22. We see a lot about Abraham. Now, when we come to the text we're reading now, Abraham believed God would do what he said he would do. Now, that's the key right there. When we put our faith in the Lord, we must believe that he will do what he said he would do. We must believe that he accomplished what he said he accomplished. And as we spoke this morning in the message about the restitution of all things, God will bring this to pass. Now, as we read the book of Genesis, we find that Abraham believed that God would do what he said he would do, even though Abraham is old, even though Sarah is old, even though Sarah has passed the age of bearing children. Not only has she passed that age, but she was barren, even as a young woman. And at this time, when we read here in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 15 and chapter 17, Abraham has no children, especially here in chapter 15. Now notice, let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" In other words, God, Abraham is saying, Lord, could this be the heir? And we find that in verse 3, "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir." In other words, this servant, Eliezer. "And he said, But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Verse 5. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be." Verse 6. This is where we have our quote from in Galatians 3:6 and also in Romans 4 verse 3. "And Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted." Notice Galatians 3:6 uses the word accounted here. He says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." I want you to think about that. Again, let's look at Abraham. Abraham is here saying, "I believe that you will do what you said you would do." Even though Abraham is getting old, we know that the child is not born, Isaac, until he's 100, and Sarah is 90. Now you think about putting yourself in this position. He is old, Sarah is getting old. She is not only past childbearing age when Isaac is born, but we find that she was barren, even as a young woman. And again, here God is saying to Abraham, your children are going, your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven. And Abraham actually says, I have no seed. I have no child at this time. Now that takes faith. He put his faith in God. In verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Simple faith. Again, this is a profound passage when we think about it. And you and I are trusting in the Lord not only to save us, what Christ accomplished, but we're trusting him to get us out of this world, another similar circumstance. Now, I will say this. When we read on in our text, notice in verse 7 and 8, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." Verse 8, "And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Abraham has faith, he's trusted in the Lord, but in verse 8, Abraham wanted his justification put in writing. He wanted assurance. He wanted confirmation. And what you read in the remaining of this chapter, you read about God having him to bring the sacrifices. Those sacrifices are divided. Usually two people making a covenant. They would walk between those sacrifices. Here in this case, we find that that God put him into a deep sleep. The Lord moves through the sacrifices. And then we find in verse 18, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying," and he mentioned his seed, "and the promised land." So we find here, this is the text that Paul is using in Galatians and Romans to show that our salvation is not by the works of the flesh or the law, but is by faith. Now go with me to the book of Romans and notice here. In Romans chapter 4. So Abraham is a great example. Last week we were looking at their personal experience, their personal faith. He appeals to, did you not put faith in Christ? Did you not come into this salvation by faith without the works of the law? Now he is appealing to the scripture and going back over 400 years before the Mosaic law. And he said, let's look at how Abraham was saved. He was saved the same way that you were saved. All right, now notice as we come here to Romans chapter 4. Let me read about the first 11 verses. Probably ought to read the whole chapter, but at least the first 11 or 12 verses, and then verse 20 through 25. Notice as we come here to this passage. He says here in verse, beginning in verse 1, what shall we say then? And by the way, in chapter 3, he has been dealing with the purpose of the law, and again, justification by faith without the deeds of the law. He says in verse 19 of chapter 3, the law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. In verse 20, he said, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's one of the reasons God gave them the law. He said, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He continues with propitiation in verse 25. He continues in verse 28, he said, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now notice in chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining the flesh, have found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Matter of fact, James chapter 3, and I'm not asking you to turn there, not James 3, but James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, and there's no conflict between Romans 4 and James chapter 2, but in James 2, verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Imputed, accounted, counted. In other words, put to Abraham's account. Okay? Now, in verse 4 of Romans 4, now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. There's that word, imputeth. Righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness, that is, this salvation, this righteousness, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Notice the word reckoned is used here. Verse 10, how was it then reckoned? In other words, how was it put to his account, imputed to him? Was it in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision. See, the circumcision was a sign of something. It was a sign that he had believed in the Lord, that he was separated from the world. And he said, and he received the sign of circumcision, notice a seal, that is a proof of the righteousness of faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they were not circumcised that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Now notice down in verse 20 through 25. Verse 20 through 25. When we think about the word accounted or the word imputed, it means to credit to one's account, to ascribe or reckon. We've seen counted, accounted, reckoned, and imputed. And that's the ideal of to credit to one's account. And this thought is in 2 Corinthians 5:21. We read that many times in the year. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We find it again in 1 Corinthians 1:30. He has made unto us righteousness. There's four things there. There's wisdom and righteousness and redemption and I think sanctification. Those four things. But one of them is righteousness. And then in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul speaks about obtaining the righteousness of God and not his own righteousness, which he would try to obtain through the deeds of the law. Verse 20, notice with me in verse 20. He says here, speaking of Abraham, he said, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Somebody say amen, because it's written for us. He said in verse 24 and 25, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. To be justified is the means to be declared righteous. Well, now go back with me to our text and notice in verse 6 again. In verse 6, he says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, he's saved the same way the Galatians were saved. He's saved the same way that you and I are saved today. Now notice as we come to verse 7, he says in verse 7, know ye therefore. In other words, he said, learn from this case. This is something he's saying to them you should know, or at least he's saying to them, this is something you know or something you should know. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The children of Abraham. We are the spiritual seed. We are the children of Abraham. Notice as we come down to verse 26 through 29. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Come with me, please, to chapter 4 and verse 28. Chapter 4 and verse 28. Speaking to the Galatians, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, notice, are the children of promise. Turn with me to chapter 6 and notice with me in verse 15 through 16. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule is the gospel of Jesus Christ. For as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God is the true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've done this many times, but let's do it again. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Who are the children of Abraham? Now, if you're taking notes, John the Baptist, now we're going to read in John chapter 8 the words of Jesus, but John the Baptist, when he came forth preaching, many came out, Pharisees, Sadducees, and he referred to them as the generation of vipers. And he says unto them, this is in Matthew 3, 7 through about 12, he basically says unto them, not to think within themselves, or to say within themselves, we have Abraham to our father. John said, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Also, there is a Gentile centurion that became a believer in Matthew 8, beginning verse 5 through verse 13. And this centurion, he came to the Lord for the healing of one of his servants. And the Lord healed that servant. And he basically said, I'm not worthy to even come into your presence. And the Lord Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith, not in Israel. And the Lord healed his servant. But he said this, speaking to the kingdom. He said that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Also, in Matthew chapter 21, I'm not asking you to turn there, we find that the kingdom of God was taken away from many and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. That nation is mentioned in 1 Peter 2:9, and it's called a holy nation, a royal priesthood. In other words, it was the believing Jews. The believing Jews, and then believing Gentiles added to that. So as we look through the scripture, we see clearly that even those who were physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not guarantee to them that they would be going into the kingdom. It did guarantee that they would hear the gospel, and they were the first to hear the gospel. But I think John 8 illustrates this more than anywhere else. And by the way, let me give you just a few other verses that you do not have to turn to. In Romans 4, where we were just at, in Romans chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, we did not read all of those verses. Abraham, again, is called the father of the faithful. In Romans chapter 2, in verse 28 and 29, it says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So who is that true Jew? Somebody like Peter, James, Paul, and others. It's one that had been circumcised in the heart, the one who had truly believed on the Lord. Then in Romans 9, 6, he says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Philippians 3 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul speaks to the believers at the church, and he said, at Philippi, he said, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. And so clearly, just being a Jew and circumcised as a Jew did not guarantee eternal life. So let's illustrate that here in John chapter 8. You're familiar with this passage. In John chapter 8, the Lord is speaking to them about the truth and the truth making them free. And in verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Notice, as we come down, again, he speaks of the Son, and the Son shall make you free in verse 36. And he says in verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. And by the way, they took up stones to kill him in verse 59. And he says, because my word hath no place in you. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Christ is saying that their father is not God himself. In verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now, physically speaking, that was true. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, keep in mind, we read in Galatians and other places that it has to do with faith. That makes us the true spiritual seed of Abraham. And he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, you'd have the same faith that Abraham had. Verse 40. But you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, ye are of your father, the devil. I know we've read this many times over the years, but this drives home the truth that we're reading about in Romans and Galatians. And he said, the lust of your father you'll do. He's a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, he is a liar and the father of it. In verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then they accused him of having a devil in verse 48 and 49. And then they took up stones to kill him in verse 59 because of some statements he had to make about Abraham. And by the way, let's go ahead and read in verse 56 because he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. We're going to read in just a few moments in Galatians where that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Abraham knew that Messiah was coming. Now let's go back there and read verse 8 now in Galatians chapter 3. As we come back here, Galatians chapter 3, this time reading in verse 8, keep in mind, in verse 6, we find that Abraham believed God. It was counted him for righteousness. Verse 7, he said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And then in verse 8, he said, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, the heathen are simply the Gentiles, and he said, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. We find in verse 8, he appeals to the scripture, which is the revelation of God. And God, in his revelation, in his word, says that the Gentiles would be saved by faith. And again, that begins in Genesis 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. And we find that all through the scripture. Notice he says here, in thee, verse 8, the latter part, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You see, the gospel was preached to Abraham in the fact that Abraham knew something about the coming Messiah. So the gospel is older than the law. You ever thought about that? It's older than the Mosaic law. At least 400 years before Abraham gets this promise, the gospel is no new doctrine in this sense. And we find that in Genesis 22, even we find there the gospel is acted out with Abraham carrying his son up for a sacrifice, and God provided a sacrifice. So we find in thee, that is all, in Abraham, all nations would be blessed. They would be made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Messiah would descend through Abraham, through his physical seed, down until we come to the point of Christ was born. And he was born of that nation, of the seed of Abraham. And this is repeated many times in the scripture. Now, without turning and reading all of these, let me give you just a few. In Genesis 12, verse 3, God told Abram, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." That is, that nations would be saved. That is repeated in Genesis 18, verse 18, to Abraham. It is repeated again in Genesis 22, 18, to Abraham. And then it was given to Isaac in Genesis 24, and verse 6. And it was given to Jacob in Genesis 28, and verse 4. And again, we would find it in the book of Psalms and also in Romans 3 and verse 25. But notice, as we look here in our text, who is that ultimate seed? In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That is, they would be made righteous. They would be saved through his seed. Well, he had a physical seed. And Christ was even born of that physical lineage. But I want you to notice, and we'll cover this as we get to it more, but I want you to notice right here in this chapter, the Bible said in verse 14, said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ. And that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But notice in verse 16 and 17, verse 16 and 17, it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but of what? One. And to thy seed, which is Christ," verse 17, "and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God," notice, "in Christ, the law," which is 430 years later, "cannot disannul, that he should make the promise of none effect." And then in verse 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." The ultimate seed of Abraham is Christ, is Jesus Christ, and all of those who are in Christ are referred to as the seed of Abraham. He is the father of all the faithful. Notice as we close here in verse 9. In verse 9, he says here, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." In Christ, we have a justifying righteousness. He is the father of all who believe. Yes, we're called the children of God, but we're also referred to in verse 7 as the children of Abraham. And again, we find in Genesis 15, toward the end of that chapter, he made a covenant with Abraham. And then in Genesis 17, he confirms that covenant, and that is when that Abraham is circumcised. And I love what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, something like this. He said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." We have the assurance of salvation, as I talked to you this morning. We have the assurance of glorification based upon our faith and believing that God has done what he said he's done and that he will do what he says that he is going to do. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank thee for this day, for thy love, and for thy mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Father, we thank thee for Jesus Christ, thy Son, that went to Calvary's cross, that we might be saved, and that we might have eternal life. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.